I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Hi,
I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The scripture says that though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Well, if you couldn't be depleted, you wouldn't need to be renewed. Amen. And that's internally. That's inside. One thing we need to understand, when I said, you know, my spirit is being fed, I didn't say the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm a spirit, but I'm not the Holy Spirit. And so my spirit can be weak. My spirit can be depleted and worn, hence the need to be renewed, right?
Yes.
Day by day. But a wonderful thing about this is that aging is only external. It's only external. It really is. And the whole thing is very, very temporary. Because even our body, even if it wears completely out and the spirit leaves it and it's buried, that's not the end of it. The trumpet's going to sound.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's going to be made immortal. Yes. Incorruptible, which means no longer subject to decay or aging. Whew. Yes. We've never been in a place like that.
No.
Nobody down here's ever had a body like that. But the scripture says it'll be like unto his body. The Master Jesus' body himself. Just it'll be like his body. Our body, said out loud,
my body
will be like his body.
Will be like his body.
So you got something to look forward to. But in the meantime, even the body now in its mortal state, it gets its strength from the inner man. That's where your body gets its ability and strength from. Everything's coming from the inside. It's what's making your heart beat. It's what's giving, you know, light to your brain and all these things. So the inward man does not have to fade, does not have to weaken over time. In fact, should increase, should get stronger and brighter. Hallelujah. And your inner man can be, I mean, you might be 95 and your legs won't run like when you were 25, and yet inside you're bigger and stronger than you were when you were 25, and just a short matter of time, the Lord's going to fix your body so it matches the inside. But we're still talking about faith, because faith is of the heart. Father, we thank you that you are so good and so gracious. To know you and fellowship with you and commune with you is life itself. It is life eternal. Thank you. Reveal to us today the things we need to see and know now and the steps that we need to take next. We ask for the grace. We ask for the utterance, the anointing, the revelation, the help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series for a number of weeks now. We're calling Faith for Provision. In this world, you need some things every day of your life. You need something to eat, something to wear, a way to travel. You know, you need money, you need things, provision. And our question is it God's will for you to have it? Or can you not know? Or sometimes it's his will for you to have plenty, and sometimes it's his will for you to go through lack. It's part of your training and develop. Which one's true? And if you say, well, I just really believe this, based on what? Something you just imagined? These things are too serious to be left up to whim and varying opinions. Thank God there's a more sure word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo. There's a word that's perfect and doesn't change and cannot fail. And so that's why we're going through point by point by point from the word, 30 reasons why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I want to hear you say it with me. How about it? Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. True?
Yes.
Huh? You can't be too sure. You can't be too convinced of things like this. Your faith depends on it. You might say, well, Brother Keith, why just keep beating on it like that? I mean, you know, 30 reasons? I mean, is that really necessary? Yeah, because faith is not of the head.
Right.
I'm not trying to just give you information that you can check the box and go, yeah, I heard that. Got that information. Check. That doesn't mean you have faith.
Right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart. And the heart must be persuaded.
Yes.
And if it's not, it's not. Well, how can I get it that way? You need to hear something.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You need to come to faith school.
Yes.
Get in your chair.
Yes.
Right? And let me give you reason number 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 30.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And at some point, not because I said it or some other preacher said something, but at some point you get to the place in your heart where you go, well, that's how it is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's God said it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He said it 500 times. I mean, yeah, I'm convinced.
Yes.
Only then are you able to have faith.
Yeah.
Only then, as long as you're questioning it, wondering, reasoning about it, you don't have faith for that. You might have faith for something else, but you don't have faith for that. And you need faith for your provision.
Yes, sir.
You do. And especially if you're going to accomplish anything in this world for God or in the church or in the things of God, it takes money, it takes resources. And the great thing is, you don't have to beg for it, you don't have to ask anybody for it.
Yes.
You do have to be persuaded God wants you to have it.
Yes.
That's what you has to happen. And then you just listen to Him. And He'll show you what to do about tithing or about giving offerings or just in your daily life. Do this. Go here. Don't do that. Get this at this price. Wait a year about doing that. I mean, being led by the Spirit and the wisdom of God, it all goes together. But the end result is that you always have abundant provision. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's God's will. Now, our 13th reason that we've been into now is what we're calling the redemptive names of God. And it's the Lord said, I am Jehovah. And that means the self-existent one, the God of our salvation. And he puts other words with the name Jehovah, revealing a different aspect of His character, His person, His priorities, and through these, we really do see His will. If He says, I am the Lord who does this, then you shouldn't turn and look at Him and go, well, is it your will to do that? He said, I just told you, I am the Lord who does this, right? Well, did He change? No, He never changes. Well, he has a different will for you. He's a respecter of persons. No. So we've been going through one by one of 9 of these, and we got down to number 7, I guess it was, we saw Jehovah Emkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. We talked about that further, but just what I was saying a moment ago, Jesus went, before he went to the cross, he went to the whipping post, he was scourged, and that was not just some unnecessary thing. Why did he allow that to happen? The Bible said he took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses, he carried our pains, and by his stripes we're healed.
Amen.
I mean, would you look at the cross and see Jesus? He's not there now. He's off the cross. That's done. But if you saw him hanging on the cross and blood flowing down and him dying for your sins to save you, would you look at him and go, Lord, is it your will for me to be saved?
No.
Do you want me to be saved? I don't know. Is it your will? Why is he there?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is an unnecessary question.
Yeah.
This is a foolish question. Well, when you see him tied to the scourging post and they're beating him and the stripes are being laid on his back and the blood is flowing, and would you look at him and say, Lord, is it your will for me to be healed? Well, why is he doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we just never know. It may not be his will. See, that's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually insulting.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's because of the ignorance of the word, and it's because religious tradition has replaced the word.
Yeah.
People believe all this junk, and a lot of times stuff that preachers have said, stuff that theologians have written about, but contrary to the word of God. If he said, I am Jehovah Rapha,
yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
never again question his will to heal.
Amen.
He is, and he always is, Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, the Lord our victory. So do you have to ask him, Lord, do you want me to win or lose?
Yeah.
Is it lose this time?
Yeah.
Or win? Which is it? You know, you win a few, you lose a few. That's the way the old ball bounces. Well, I ain't bouncing the old ball. I'm a new creation. Is that right? In Christ Jesus. And now the promises of God in him are yes and amen. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always causes us to triumph. So don't get tired of winning.
Amen.
Right?
Exactly.
Win.
Yeah.
So we said, what are we going to do about this situation? We do win. We're going to win it. And then what are we going to do? Win.
Yeah.
Win. And then when something comes up that's bigger than we've ever dealt with before, what are we going to do then?
Win.
Win.
Yeah.
Easy. You know the answer before you get into it. Why? Because he has revealed himself by saying, I am Jehovah Nissi. None of these names, like we said previously, none of these names does he say, I am Jehovah Failure.
Right. That's right.
Huh? I am Jehovah Knock You Down.
Yeah.
Right? I am Jehovah Bring the Pain. No. No, you're laughing. And yet, people believe that the suffering and the pain and the lack and the disease is somehow God doing something in their life that they don't understand. It irritates me.
Yeah.
Because I see when people believe that, the devil is playing them. He has deceived them. He is conning them. Jesus said it's the enemy, it's the devil who comes, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And yet you've got people all over the world that are, stuff's being stolen from them. Their very life, their happiness, their joy, their family, their prosperity, they're being stripped, stolen, destroyed, and they're blaming it on God. Like the devil doesn't exist. Like there is no thief. That's being ignorant of the word. And sometimes being willingly ignorant of it. What do you mean? They heard people like me, whatever, but they thought, I don't believe in all that. That's extreme. Extremely true.
Yes.
Right? Extremely Bible.
That's good.
Y'all okay?
Yes.
So we went through six of these names, and we got into the seventh one. I want to finish up on that a little bit. The seventh one was Jehovah Rai, or Rohi, depending on who you're reading after, the Lord my shepherd. Now, that's the first point we looked at, and yet there's more to see here in this name. Go with me to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, Jeremiah 23. On yesterday's class, we saw in Ezekiel 34 that the Lord was reproving his under-shepherds, the leaders of his people. He said, you haven't fed my people. You haven't cared for them. You haven't helped them get healed. You haven't, you know, restored them and got the lost back where they needed to be. Well, he said, with force and cruelty, you've ruled them. And he said, woe to you. And judgment was pending. Well, does God, you know, does he hold a double standard for himself compared to somebody else? Does he tell people, no, I'm fine that you're my sheep, but I'm fine that you're diseased? And he's going to rebuke them for not getting the disease healed. Yeah, you're my sheep and you're starving, I know, and you're going through hard times and you have terrible lack, but that's, I'm your shepherd, but that's my will for you. Can you see what I'm saying? That's, how do you understand that? He's telling these shepherds, they're in trouble. You're about to be judged for this, but it's okay for him to do it? Is that really how it is? Mm-mm. That's not how it is. Jeremiah 23 talks about some of these same things. And what we're looking at is, can we see provision in Jehovah our shepherd? In Jeremiah 23:1, he says, woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you've scattered my flock, you've driven them away, you've not visited them. I'll visit upon you the evil of your doings, says the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I've driven them. I'll bring them again to their folds, and they will be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which will do what?
Feed them.
Now, spiritually speaking, now, what do under shepherds feed? Not hamburgers and hot dogs. It's the Word, right? It's the Word. That's what I'm endeavoring to do right now, right? I say, okay, open up. Here it comes, right? I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, says the Lord.
Amen.
Is that plain or is that plain?
Yes.
Is that clear?
Yes.
Huh? What? The Lord says, can you see what he's saying? Same kind of idea as in Ezekiel 34. He said, you haven't taken care of my sheep. Do you remember that after Jesus was raised from the dead and Peter had, denied him, but he's talking to Peter after the resurrection, and he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord. He said, feed my lambs. Right?
Yes.
Then he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord. You know, he said, feed my sheep. Well, you know, in the beginning of the days, the church, they were all lambs, right? Baby sheep.
Yeah.
But then eventually, if they're fed and they grow, then they'd be sheep, you know, not just lambs, immature. But can you hear the heart of the master? Did you hear the question? Do you love me? Do you care about me? Then what? Take care of my people, right?
Yeah.
And what do they need? They need to be fed.
Yeah.
They need to have something put in them on the inside that'll give them strength, that'll enable them to lay hold of their source, get everything they need from God, overcome the enemy, be strong to resist him and not be defeated. And notice he said, I'm going to set shepherds over them that will feed them, verse 4, and they won't fear anymore, and they won't be dismayed. How could that happen? Because they've been fed.
Amen.
I said they've been fed.
Amen.
They've been fed. Do you see why we start off our class? My spirit.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Being fed.
Yes.
And as a result of that, what? My faith is growing stronger. Well, what's the results of that? No fear.
Amen.
Oh, come on. Can you see this?
Yes.
No fear. What else? Not dismayed, not discouraged, not depressed,
yes,
not scared,
yes,
not shaken. Why? Because you've been fed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the thing that you were fed didn't feed you fear, it fed you faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And only one thing will do that.
Right.
Thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
It is written.
Amen.
The anointed, wonderful word of God.
Jesus
said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Job says, just like the tongue tastes food, the ear tries words. And he said, I have esteemed your words more than my necessary food. If you were smart and you had to choose between a meal for your body and a meal for your spirit, get the one for your spirit.
Yes.
Then you got enough faith to believe for all the food you need. You see what I'm saying? You can get a weak body fixed with a strong spirit, but a strong body won't fix a weak spirit. He said, I am going to set my shepherds over them, and they'll feed them, and they'll fear no more. They won't be dismayed, neither will they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, I'll raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days, Judah will be saved, Israel will dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called Jehovah, our righteousness.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Which smoothly brings me to number 8. In our study, this is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Hallelujah. And notice it was connected with Jehovah Reah, the Lord our shepherd. Are there any connections? We're talking about the same person, right?
Yeah.
Same person, just understanding different aspects of his will. Different sides. Like my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, used to say, he said, if you go up one side of the mountain, you got that view.
Mm-hmm.
If you go up on the other side of the mountain, you got a different view. But it's the same mountain.
Right.
Right? It's the same mountain, and that's God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's bigger than a mountain.
Right.
And depending on what you're looking at and where you are in this thing, you got one view, but you're not seeing the whole thing. You're not seeing. And each day he'll help us to see the part we need to see to feed our faith there. So we're sure it's God's will for us to have abundant provision all the time, because the Lord's my shepherd, Jehovah Rai, but also because he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And notice with verse 4, Jeremiah 23:4, he said, they will not be lacking, says the Lord. That was the thought before he got to verse 6 about the Lord our righteousness. In Jeremiah 33, you're there in the same book, just flip over a page or two. Jeremiah 33:13. In the cities of the mountains, the cities of the vale, the south, and the places of Jerusalem, Judah, flocks will pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, says the Lord. They were experiencing some hard times and lean times because of their disobedience, because of their worshiping false gods and all of that kind of stuff. But in his mercy, he's telling them, I'm going to restore you. And where there's been so much lack, people are going to be counting the sheep. And I guess that's where that phrase came from.
Yeah.
Right? Literally, you had to keep counting. Why? Because you got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Right? You got a lot of sheep. Takes a while to count them. Verse 14, behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will perform that good thing that I have promised to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Is he a good God?
Yes.
Does he have a good plan?
Yes.
See, that's what we saw what last week when he said, I know the thoughts I think about you. Good plans.
Yes.
Not to do you evil, but to prosper you and give you an expected end and a good future. Is that too good to be true? Or?
No.
Huh? In those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up into David. He will execute judgment and righteousness in the land. I want you to notice he keeps using this word righteousness here. And in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. That is that compound name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Can we see any provision in that? Oh, yeah. And one of the big things about this is the deliverance from condemnation. If your heart condemns you, 1 John says you have no confidence toward God. Well, that means no faith. Confidence is a faith word. And so when it comes to getting your needs met or even enjoying some nice things, one of the things you'll hear Christians say is, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And they're right. Just based on what you've done. But you're not supposed to be looking at holding to your righteousness, which is not acceptable. The Lord has become our righteousness, and that makes us acceptable. That makes us worthy, hallelujah, of receiving things that otherwise we would not. Oh, this word has so much to do with provision, because if I can get this stupid condemnation off of me, is that right? And get this junk, this guilt, and this shame out of my life and actually lift my head and get some confidence, then we can go somewhere and do something,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
yes,
with that provision.
Amen.
And I'm out of time again. Everybody said out loud, I live by faith, I walk by faith, I overcome this world by faith, I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Come back tomorrow. We're going to see some more about the Lord our righteousness. And remember, anything he said he was, said he is, he'll always be. And say it out loud, he is that to me.
He is that to
me. Hallelujah.
You are
the Lord my righteousness.
Righteousness.
Your righteousness,
your righteousness is mine.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.